This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. It's a blessing to be with you today, and I hope you're all doing well. And again, I thank you for joining me. I don't take my listeners for granted. So let's get right into our study as we continue our study we've been doing on the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, we started last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and started to look at verses 17 to 34, where Paul discusses the Lord's Supper. And we saw last time that at Corinth they had trouble with these problems regarding the Lord's Supper. There was, number one, divisions. We saw that. And then number two, there was heresies. Number three, we saw there was ignorance. So Paul reminded them of the proper way to observe the Lord's Supper. And then we looked at some points of clarification on the Lord's Supper. Amen. And now we want to pick up and notice some of these admonitions that Paul gave the Corinthians regarding the Lord's Supper. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, the Word of God says this: "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So Paul tells us not to take the Lord's Supper unworthily. You see, a person who eats the bread and drinks the cup unworthily is guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. There are two ways in the context to take the Lord's Supper unworthily. First, by not discerning the Lord's body. We read in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, the second way you can take the Lord's Supper unworthily is by not judging ourselves, In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, we read this: "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So before taking the Lord's Supper, we are to examine ourselves. In verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, we read this: "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Amen. And examining ourselves involves judging our sins. In practice, we judge the sins in our lives by God's word, confessing them to the Lord. Notice what in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 9. Here is a promise that every born-again child of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, can claim. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess ourselves, that word "if" implies condition. So first, if we confess our sins, this is, if we do that, that's a condition. We have to first confess our sins. And here's what's promised: He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen to that. So you don't want to take the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sin in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, Paul tells us that when the Lord judges us, he chastens us so that we should not be condemned with the world. You see, the Lord wants us to be partakers of his holiness. Number one, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 10, the Word of God tells us, "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure." And what's being talked about is your earthly father correcting you, chasing you. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, the difference between our earthly father chastening us is after their own pleasure. And the difference between that and our heavenly father chastening us, it says, "But he chastens us, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." See, there's a profit when our heavenly father chastens us or corrects us. We can be a partaker of his holiness. Amen. And then not only he wants us to be partakers of his holiness and to bear the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. The Word of God says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Any of us who have gone through the chastening of the Lord, it's not fun, is it? No, but grievous. It is grievous. Nevertheless, despite that it's grievous, nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth. This is the product of the chastening. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So here is our benefit from being chastening by our Heavenly Father. Partakers of his holiness, and it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. Amen to that. Furthermore, you must correctly discern the Lord's body. The Lord's physical body is his resurrected body, seated at the right hand of God in heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Now, the Lord's spiritual body is the church, made up of members who have been baptized into his body by the Holy Spirit upon receiving Jesus Christ. Notice what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Notice also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 17, the Word of God says this, "For we being many are one bread in one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Amen. So, see, the Lord's body is not the bread as the Catholics teach, but the bread represents those who are now in his body. Now, a person who eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, according to verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 11. The Word of God says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, I want you to understand, damnation here doesn't refer to going to hell. No. The next verse shows you the damnation that those in the Corinthian church had experienced. Verse number 30 of 1 Corinthians 11, we read this. For this cause, what's the cause? Eating and drinking, amen, unworthily. This is the cause. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. See? Many were sick, many were weak and sickly, and many among them, and many slept, many died. Why? Because they ate and drank unworthily of the Lord's Supper. Now, there were physical consequences to their disobedience as well. They were weak and sickly. Now, Paul concluded with a couple of practical instructions for the church. First, look at verse 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The word of God says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. So he told the Corinthians to tarry one for another before they ate, so they could all eat at the same time. Thus, when we take the Lord's Supper, we wait until all have been served so that we can all eat of that bread together. The second thing, the second practical instruction he gives to the church of Corinth is found in verse 34. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So the second practical instruction for the church at Corinth, he told the Corinthians not to come to supper hungry. At the Lord's Supper, the quantity of bread served to each person is not sufficient to satisfy hunger. Amen. So now we've concluded and finished chapter number 11. So now what we want to do is continue in our study in 1 Corinthians. And now we want to go and look at and begin chapter number 12. Now, chapter number 12 of 1 Corinthians, and we see here this entire chapter, Paul deals with diversities of spiritual gifts. In this chapter, Paul deals with the body of Christ and the diversities of spiritual gifts that are given to the members of his body. In this passage, he shows us several things. First of all, he shows us that spiritual gifts require spiritual understanding. Again, in this chapter, Paul shows us spiritual gifts require spiritual understanding. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what verses 1 through 3 tell us. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So Paul didn't want the Corinthians to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Their former idolatry made them dumb concerning the Spirit of God. Now notice what Psalm 115 verses 4 to 8 tell us. Talking about idols. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes, they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. And this is what Paul tells the church at Corinth. Before they were saved, before they became children of God, they were Gentiles, carried away under their dumb idols as they were led. Amen. Now, so Paul gave them a couple of spiritual tests, like John gave, to discern the Spirit. Let's turn to First Epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. The Word of God says this: Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world. So that's John's test that he gives us. Amen. That's John's test that he gives us concerning the Spirit of God, to discern the Spirit. So a man speaking by the Spirit of God, Paul tells us, doesn't call Jesus accursed. And a man won't say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, further, the second thing that Paul shows us about the diversities of spiritual gifts is spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God. Again, spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God. Let's return to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and see what the words of Almighty God have to say in verses 4 through 7. And now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So Paul is telling us spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God. The diversities of gifts don't indicate that there are diversities of spirits, plural, who give those gifts. Paul tells us explicitly it's the same Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God, just like the different administrations come from the same Lord, in verse 5 we're told, and the different operations come from the same God, we're told in verse 6. Every man is given a spiritual gift or gifts, we're told that in verse 7, and his gifts manifest the Spirit who gave it. In other words, you can see the gift, and you can tell that it came from the Spirit. His gift is given to profit withal. In other words, it benefits him so that he can perform his calling for the Lord. All right, let's continue now. As we're looking at the diversities of spiritual gifts. So Paul shows us, we saw in verses 1 to 3, spiritual gifts require spiritual understanding. And then in verses 4 to 7, Paul shows us spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God. Now, the third thing in verses 8 to 11 is spiritual gifts differ according to purpose. Again, spiritual gifts differ according to purpose. Again, we return to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's see what the words of Almighty God have to tell us here in verses 8 through 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. So we see several gifts here are mentioned in verses 8 through 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They are the word of wisdom, in other words, the ability to perfectly apply Scripture to counsel. And then we have the word of knowledge, the ability to show precisely what the Scripture says. And then faith. Amen. In Ephesians verses 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it applies to all who get saved. Amen. Just as a reminder, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. The Word of God says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we see Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, that faith applies to all to get saved. But then there is faith for particular works, as in, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. We read this, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains." See? And then the rest of the verse says, "And have not charity, I am nothing." So then we have, okay, Moses and Elijah. As an example of faith, Moses and Elijah show up in the tribulation, are given faith and therefore power to perform miracles. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. The Word of God says, "These are the two olive trees and the two candlestick standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will." Now, as we continue on, we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11, several gifts are mentioned. We have the gifts of healing. We have the working of miracles. We have the gift of prophecy. We have the gift of discerning of spirits. We have the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, and the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Though these gifts differ, they all come from the same Spirit, and the Spirit divides them to every man severally as he will. That is, the Spirit gives these gifts to whom he chooses and for the purposes that he intends. Each man gets his own gift or gifts severally. Amen. Now, as we continue in verses 12 to 27, what Paul is showing us here is spiritual gifts are like the different body parts. Amen. So he's showing us here that the spiritual gifts are like the different body parts. The body of Christ can be compared to the human body, in that each is one body made up of many members. Verse 12, or of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ." Amen. We all become members of one body when we are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Verse 13, the Word of God says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have all been made to drink into that one body." Amen. Now, before I move on this point, I just want to clarify that the gifts mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11, some of them are no longer with us. The sign gifts, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Those were given to the Jewish apostles. Amen. Is after Jesus was resurrected to send them out, primarily to the Jews, and we know the Jews require a sign. So the Lord gave them the sign gifts so the Jews would believe what they were preaching. But we get into the book of Acts and we see that Paul the Apostle gets saved. He's primarily to the Gentiles. The Gentiles do not require a sign. So we see in the early book of Acts, the sign gifts cease. Amen. So that's a point of clarification that I think is very important to make. So with that, we've just about run out of time. I've got some more material that I want to bring out to you in this chapter 12. But I hope the study is, as we go through 1 Corinthians, is a blessing to you and you'll continue to join me. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, may God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.